It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. It's Monday, the 23rd of June, and it is 9 a.m. Mountain Time, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. on that East Coast. How are you? Good to see you. Thank you for being here. Thank you guys for coming to the room. Yes, it is 43-hour void of course moon. I even had the wrong video up for my moment, my astrology moment, but it is corrected. Thank you for saying something, Lenny. I would have never known it. Speaking of which, hi, Lenny. Thanks for being here. So happy to be sharing Monday with all of you beautiful people, she said. Almost new moon. Good morning, Mark from Truly. Hi, Arlene. Good to see you. Shelley, I'm going to be looking differently. One of my monitors isn't working. I mean, it is a 43-hour void of course moon. You guys, we're going to take what we get today. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to explain all that too. But hi, Ann. Thanks for being here. Nice to be live with you today too. Happy summer. Patricia Rich, good morning. Thank you. Hi, Carla. Thanks for being here. Happy void moon. Everybody knows. I think y'all know I hate void of course moons. All right, Terry, we're going to hear you raving about how wonderful they are. That's okay. That's good. I'm a Cancer. I can't deal. I can deal. Hi, Maureen. Thank you for coming. Hi, Donna. You're in sunny Seattle. Oh, my gosh. My Cancer birthday is the 27th. Oh, coming up with Cancer rising also. Hi, Donna. Good crabness. Hey, thanks, Karen, for being here. Erica's in the house. I love it. She says, I have some new Brits with me. Jackie, Christy, Linda, and Jennifer. Hey! How are you from over across the pond? Wow, Erica, your show was awesome. Thanks for being my front runner. I should thank you for letting me be your back runner. Peggy from All My Angels, Peggy and Yogi are listening. Hi, Yogi. Give little Yogi a big kiss for me. Peggy has her shows on Tuesday morning. Erica's certainly right before me. I'm sure you all got to listen to that. I'll be turning my head. Look at Terry. Happy void, of course. Terry, don't get me started. Hey, Kelly, thanks for being here. Okay, so because my monitor that's usually in front of me is not working, and it was working beautifully, it's like no signal, no signal. It's like, what do you mean no signal? Where you had a signal for months now. But, oh, it's a void of course moon. Of course you don't have a signal. I get it. that's funny. Okay, so I'm going to explain that void of course energy. What is everybody saying? Void of what? What does that mean? Void of course, it sounds so 17th century. We're going to talk about the 17th century too. Well, not really, but we're going to talk about the 1700s. Well, so let's back up for a minute here. This is, no matter how we look at it, a Gemini moon, okay? So I want to take you on a tour of today's chart real quick, just to talk a little bit about the void of course, what it means, and why I make such a big fuss about it. Because, let's face it, the moon's going to go, it's going to be this way every other day. So I must be miserable every other day, right? Well, I'm not miserable. I'm just without course. I'm void of course. Of course, I'm void of course. Okay, so let's talk about it. Here we go. So if I go to the chart, let's take a look at this chart. Here is a chart for today, this very minute. And I'll zoom in if you can't see it. And those of you listening, I will explain it. But the first thing I'm going to do is come up here and I'm looking at the moon. I'm looking for the moon. And there it is, this little crescent-shaped thing in the sign of Gemini. And it's early. It's like 6. Now remember, the planets go to 29. Which means this planet here at 29 has only a few days left before it is busting out of this sign of Taurus. And that planet happens to be Uranus. So your butt, Uranus, is busting out of Taurus, okay? Now here are the moon. This is going to be a big event. Because these big outer planets, if you all do not feel the change, we have been, now you know, astrologers cry wolf. When the world cries wolf, you're going to cry so much that the village just gets numb to it, right? So we cry wolf a lot in astrology because we're like, the changes are coming. And it might be like the moon's changing signs. Or it might be like Jupiter's entering Cancer. But we've been saying this about these outer planets for a long, long time. Over the past few months, I mean. They are changing significantly into new signs. The problem is, it's not that they're changing into new signs. The problem is, and it isn't a problem, is that they're doing it at the same time, in the same year. Look at these early degrees here. This is Saturn. This is Neptune. These are early Aries. They just changed. Well, you need to change, Uranus. You're coming. 29 is going to change. Pluto changed. And we'll get to Pluto in a minute. But here the moon sits at 6 degrees of Gemini, six. Now, what makes it connect during the course of a day is you go around, and when the moon was at two, there's a number two right there. The moon was like connecting to the sun. There's a number three. The moon was connecting to Jupiter early, like a few hours ago. Here's an early number, a one and a two. The moon was making the connection to Saturn and Neptune. Now, what happened? It's like, well, the moon isn't going to be making, it's at six, and it's in the sign of air. We need to find another air sign in the sky. There's Pluto, but it's at three. So, oh my goodness, the moon already connected to Pluto. What's going to happen? There's Mars. The moon, it's at three. The moon squared Mars already. What happens now? It's not going to touch anything. There's nothing else for it to make a relationship with for 43 hours. So the moon is basically sitting up here having a good old time in Gemini. You know, Geminis just find the good. The Geminis can have a good time anywhere. I mean, come on. When they're not experiencing the other twin, which is depressing, they are feeling happy. That, like, they alternate, right? That's what Geminis do. And so basically, we're looking at this moon sitting in the sign of Gemini, and for the next 43 hours, okay, that technically translates to tomorrow night at 8:44 p.m. Pacific time, before it enters the sign of Cancer, when it makes wonderful connections. Because the moon, what, loves Cancer? It rules Cancer. God loves Cancer. Everybody loves the sign of Cancer. It is amazing, that sign. And we have to wait for it to come. I can be silly. It's a void of course moon. Now, for 43 hours, we're saying those of you that are weighted down by emotional things, you're free. Go have fun. The moon's probably doing some wonderful things to your chart anyway, to your personal chart. It's just in the sky. It's unhooked. But for your personal chart, if you're a Gemini, if you're a Libra, if you're an Aquarian, it's probably giving you some laughs and you're having a good old time, making fun of those of us who are floundering, a sea, adrift, with nothing, no rudder, guideless, pointless, alone. Okay? So you're having a good time. Fire signs, Aries, Sag, Leos, y'all probably having a good time too, because guess what? The moon's in air and air feeds you. It's great. Y'all are having a good time. Taurus, you got Venus, lucky Venus with you, Capricorn and Virgo. Y'all have Mars, the Venus too, to connect to. So the earth signs are doing great. But water, we're here alone, adrift, our ruler floating into nothingness. I'm just teasing. Actually, water signs are doing pretty darn good. We're going to talk about this. I brought this chart up to get the demonstration of the moon so I could show you what was going on with the moon. But I have some other charts for us. Look at that wildness. Looks crazy, doesn't it? Let me see how y'all are doing real quick. I got to turn my head away from the microphone. You're welcome, Lenny. July 7th, Uranus and Gemini. Oh, it's July 7th. Okay, Terry, that's good to know. Hey, Pamela, void of course, perfect time to do anything that, listen, this is a Gemini explaining it, okay? Okay, this is a Gemini explaining void of course. Void of course, perfect time to do anything that usually has an emotional charge because it's a neutral zone. You can sail through. Easy peasy. That's Gemini talking. That's Gemini telling me, easy. My monitor doesn't work. Easy. Okay. Nancy Rhodes, Gemini, smiling. Lenny, Cancer, God loves Cancer. Everybody loves Cancer. The best sign. Oh my God, she's laughing. She's a Scorpio. You know she don't believe a word of that. Thank you, Nancy. That's so sweet. I appreciate that. She said she loves my style. Whiny, loud. The humor definitely helps for this Cancer moon gal. Good, Carla. Let's laugh together because we'll be crying big old Cancer tears when this stuff is over. 43 hours. Who does that? Who does that? Not God's favorite. Okay. Now, Now, what's happening? We're leaning up to a Cancer new moon. So here we go. But the Cancer new moon, let me put me in the picture here so y'all can get some horror-filled moments. Wait a minute. There it is. There we go. All right. Oh, wait a minute. I know what's going on. See, look, void of course. This is the camera to my outside yard. Isn't that cute? It's not supposed to be there. It's supposed to be my other camera. So let me do this for a minute. I'll do big me, see if this works here. Let's see. Big me, little... Oh, there we go. Good. All right, so here's the chart up here. And this is the new moon chart. I'm going to flip it back. I just wanted to say hey to you. Like, I'm still here. And let me see what happens if I do this. I think I can be little while the chart's big here. Let's see if that works. Yes, I love it. Good. Okay. Look at this, you guys. This is the new moon. And this is what makes it a new moon. The moon here is at 4 degrees Cancer, 7 minutes. The sun, 4 degrees Cancer, 7 minutes. We'll ignore this planet here for a minute. Let's look at these two. These two are, this is what makes it a new moon. So the moon comes around, like if I am the earth, here's the sun with my hand, my right hand, and here's the moon with my left hand. They're like this. A full moon is when they're like this. A new moon is when they're like this. So the moon basically shows us nothing. And the light of the moon is right here facing the sun, and we get to see black, okay? Now, what's the metaphor? The metaphor is we are now without light. And the minute that new moon hits, which is at exactly 3:32 in the morning Wednesday, Pacific time, at that moment, the moon starts to wax. It starts to get light again. And for 2 weeks... we go from this doom and gloom feeling that sometimes happens and you can hear it in the world to, wait a minute, this is kind of hopeful. I'm feeling better. I can grow. I can have some things that I want. This is the time for you to do ritual. Let's like do a private personal ritual that invites things to come to you. It's the receiving time. That's Wednesday. Now, when I'm done crying Monday and Tuesday for this void of course that's torturing me and things are breaking and I don't know, should I fix them? You can't fix them under the void of course moon. Why can you fix them under the void of course moon? You're fixing it under a void of course. It's just going to fix itself on the next day and you'll be broke. So this is the circular logic that haunts my little Cancer mind. And I'm half joking. All right. Now let's take a look at this. This number four right here, this is the thing that looks like a four, that's Jupiter. Now, there's a rule in astrology that the planet that is furthest from the sun, and you have to kind of know your astronomy to understand it, the furthest one away when there's a collection of planets has the most power. So, when you have the sun and moon, we'll give them kind of equal weight, okay, but it kind of, the moon is sort of exerting a sort of more feminine influence over the moon, over the sun here. And so basically this is a very Cancerian time. Now let's just address that for a minute here. Wherever you have Cancer in your chart, okay, and if you go on the outside wheel, you're looking for this thing that looks like a 69. All the bad symbols get to get, we're named after the worst deadly disease in the world. How am I God's favorite? When we are named after the most deadly disease everybody hates, our symbol looks like some sort of perverted sexual symbol. And, you know, we're crabs. I guess crabs could be artistic, but it is sort of a scary looking thing with big, gigantic claws. That's why it's God's favorite. Like, who's going to love that? Big old eyes that look like antennas coming up. I love little crabs, though. I do. And I do feel that, okay, first of all, let me not jump. Here, you look for this little sign, and that's on the outside wheel. Wherever that is on the outside of your chart, counterclockwise, going counterclockwise, that next piece of pie is where your Cancer house is. And if you have two of them, you have two of them. Doesn't matter. That's where degrees come in. Don't worry about that right now. So find Cancer on the outside of your chart, wherever it is. And if it's in the middle of a chart, if it's not on a line, it's in the middle. It's all in that house. All in that house. You just call it where it lands. So wherever Cancer is in your chart, you're kind of getting bathed in the power of Cancer. What is that, the power of Cancer? The power of the sign of Cancer is the ability to move emotional energy. And listen, cancers are in charge of water. They bring in summer. Any sign that brings in the season has power over that element. So cancers have power over the sign of water. And what's that mean? Cancers know how to make you laugh. They know how to make you cry. They know how to say, oh, no, 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 you all go ahead and go to that movie that I've been wanting to see for 100 years. You all go do that. I got work to do. I got to take care. I got to cook for this homeless family that I decided I wanted to bring into my home and take care. But y'all go have fun. That's what life's about, having fun. Don't worry about me in here sweating. Excuse me just a minute. I just got to wipe some sweat off my brow because I'm cooking in front of a hot oven in 80-degree weather outside. Don't worry about me, though. Okay, cancers know how to do that, and they know how to do it so effectively that you kind of don't want to mess with them when they're on a mission to want something, okay? Now, every sign has that superpower, right? Every sign has a superpower. And so I heard some dinging, but I don't know what it is. But cancers is that. So you'll see a lot of comedians are cancers, a lot of, like Meryl Streep, she can, like, you don't think she can control emotional tone or something? I mean, she spoke flawless Polish. She learned the language of Polish just to be able to do her part in a movie. So completely embraced it deeply, right? That's Cancer. Now, wherever it is in your chart, that's where your superpower of emotional ability is. So if you're superpower, if your superpower is in the third house, you have the ability to manifest an amazing environment. You probably are the caretaker, if not maybe, or the youngest child within a family structure of your siblings, but you're definitely the one that holds the emotional space. If it's your fourth house, you know how to make a home, you know, like so. But if that new moon is landing there, we're activating that energy. So there's a new focus there. New moon, new focus, right? Let me see how you are doing. Okay. Hi to Gypsy. Hi, Terry. You're out. It's a void of course. I'm unhooked. Maureen, Cancer in my second house. Oh, goody. Hitting the casino Tuesday and Saturday. I'm jealous. Second house, yeah, it's going to be matters of money, taking care of your finances. Eighth house, definitely going to be matters of money, receiving that money, or intimacy, things you're going to do. Welcome, Brina. Okay, so fifth house, you probably, again, fun, romance, children, might be getting a visit from the children. Did some of you all have people from your past show up this last week? I had an amazing barrage of people from my past. And it's weird because I handle it so differently these days. I don't know. Maybe because the sun and Jupiter and all that's in Cancer. But this trilogy of Cancerian energy is bringing luck, bringing openness, bringing a new kind of power to the area of your life in that area where Cancer is ruled. So it's not just for Cancers. But now I did something. I wanted to go look. I want to show you this. So I'm going to jump around just a little bit. Now I'll come back. This is the United States chart from 1776 at 5:10 p.m. Sag rising. Aquarius moon. But what's that sun sign? Cancer. And what's it next to? Jupiter and Venus. okay? We were a pretty amazing birth. That was a pretty amazing trilogy of luck to be born under. And as a country, it's pretty dang gone good. And yeah, we have our problems, but I'm all about USA, okay? I love this. I love Britain too, y'all. Thank you for being here. I love that. But we were a big experiment. And yeah, we made mistakes. But it's kind of like, wow, this is like a melting pot of people learning how to get along. We're learning. I mean, we get fractured. We have our problems. But it's like, that's family. That's what they do. Now, I wanted to see, I noticed that the chart of our birth of the U.S. was Sun Jupiter. And guess what? The new moon has that energy in it, the Sun Jupiter. So I'm putting the new moon over our chart. And look, Sun and Jupiter and the moon, all there right on that Venus. The new moon is hitting our Venus in the U.S., our Jupiter in the U.S. Those of you that are worried, stop worrying. Stop worrying. Like, embrace the Cancerian, the power of the Cancer crab. Okay, I'm not going to get political, I promise. All I wanted to do was show you the United States was born in that same combination of energy. Now, I went back 13 years to 2013. Let me see if I still have that one. No, I don't. But I went back to 2013, last time Jupiter was in Cancer. And do you know what? The sun missed it. And we were talking this morning. I was telling John, he goes, no, that's impossible. I'm like, yeah, I know you think that, right? But Jupiter was at 29 degrees of Cancer, and the sun had already been into Cancer, like 2 or 3 degrees of Cancer. So when Jupiter got into Cancer, it moves really slow compared to the sun. The sun was well on its way, skipping around. A year later, the sun comes back around to Cancer. Jupiter's entering Leo. Missed it completely. So it has been 24 years since we got to experience this little bolt of Jupiter-Sun energy. 24 years. So if you're feeling a little excited, if you're feeling like, ooh, that change, then I think you're on a mission. You're like feeling that you're connected. So I always tell people like, I have a low-grade anxiety. Yeah, you're connected. You're feeling Uranus on your sun or whatever it might be. The planets are basically descriptors of what's already happening. Do you hear that? Can you really let that in? They're not the harbingers of the future or of bad things or good things. They're basically, you go to them to get the reflection of what you're already doing, what you're already up to. That's why blaming the planets is kind of cute. It's cute. I like blaming the planets. I do. I just feel silly sometimes because I know what I know and I'm like, it's Mercury. It's the void, of course. I'm already flaky. I don't need an excuse, void of course flaky. But the fact that I can use it makes me happy because I get to use it's the void of course. That's who I blame. And so that's what we get to do. I'm trying to get the full chart up here. Let me see I think the screen is a little bigger when I do this. No, it didn't. It's all good. That's good. Okay. So that's why I think it's important when we track this stuff for you to remember this is just showing what you're already doing, what you're already up to. And Cancer, the good part about Cancers is that hard shell. They can endure anything. They can work it. They're going to work it. Okay? They know how to get stuff done. There's not a Cancer you can show me, not a Cancer or an area of your life that Cancer doesn't have a secret stash of security somewhere because you couldn't make it without it. Okay? Every Cancer but me has a secret stash of security somewhere because you couldn't make it without it. All right, now, as we move forward, some of the negative parts of Cancer are the fretting. Now, you know that thing about the sign behind you lacks what you have, and the sign ahead of you has what you lack? You ever heard that before? I've only talked about it a million times. So, basically, what that is, and I'm going to do it for you. I love doing it. Aries lacks what Taurus has. What do you think that is? Yeah, groundedness. Just being like stable. Aries are like all over the place. If the sun's out, Aries can't sit their butt still. And so Taurus has that grounded, like, let's get back in our bodies and feel this. Because if Aries people could get in their bodies and feel, they'd be able to move magic. But they don't like that. They like to move. They like to keep the energy going. That's how they rate how healthy they are. So then what does Gemini have, the sign after Taurus, that Taurus lacks? Obviously, every Taurus you know is stubborn as a bull. What's Gemini have? Flexibility. Gemini can do both. Gemini has that, nah, I see your point. Like, right? Taurus is like, nope. Even though I might see your point in a week if you leave me alone, but the more harder you push, Taurus is like, nope. So Gemini has the flexibility that Taurus lacks. What's Cancer have that Gemini lacks? Heart, emotion, the ability to sort of move the emotional energy. Cancers can swim in that feeling thing. Ask Gemini how they're feeling too seriously and too intently. It is fingernails on a chalkboard, right? So what does Leo have that Cancer lacks? Well, Cancer's sitting there fretting about everything. They move from side to side. They're like, their eyes are going like this. They're, you know, like, my bank account went down. What are we going to do? What if they bomb us? What if our house exploded? What if the hot water tank goes out before the party? Okay, that's Cancer fretting. What's Leo have? Head up, confidence. Leo's like, y'all worried about the silliest things. Head up, right? It's me. I'm okay. What else worry? What else is there to worry about? And then what's Virgo have that Leo lacks? Some, like, head down, detail-oriented. What is this? You know, I have a few Leo friends in my life, and I see sometimes it's like they see the bigger picture. Like, okay, that's good, but they miss all the details. Like that needs to do. And so, what's Virgo have? Virgo has that humility also that Leo sometimes lacks a little humility. So what's Libra have that Virgo lacks? Libra has sociability. Virgos want to be alone. Virgos, like, they're the loners of the zodiac. Like, let me fix you, and then can you, like, give me some space? I don't know a Virgo that doesn't want space, honestly. Loves their time alone. But they have to fix everything first before they can relax. So their own mind gets a little neurotic. Leo's like, psh. Leo sees the other person, sees the charm and the good things. Virgo sees what's bad. Libra sees what's good. So Libra is charming. Libra has that sort of like, oh, let's talk about, like, you look so good today, right? And talk about lighter things, easier things, Venus things, beauty, charm, grace. And then what does Scorpio have that Libra lacks? A little reality. Can we peel this back and look behind this? Like, I get that you painted a beautiful picture, but what's behind the painting? You just painted it on a bunch of trash. What's going on? And so Virgos go in deep. Libras are like, you know, keep it light, easy, okay? So then what's Virgo have? What does Sag have that Scorpio lacks? Well, I think Scorpios lack a little faith. Sag has faith. That Sag has a true optimism, a true belief in the bigger picture, and that they are worthy of it. Scorpios are like, I see all the flaws in myself, but I'm going to find them in you. That makes me feel better. And that's why Scorpios are such great investigators, by the way. So then Sag is like, life is great. I'm chosen. I love this. And they have that part in themselves that Scorpio lacks. Of course, Sag has the duality, which is like when it comes time to get real, and like, let's look at reality, Sag is fall apart. Which brings us to Capricorn. What's Capricorn have that Sag lacks? That ability to get, like, let's get this done. Let's get our hands dirty and pay those bills and work to have a safer future for our families. and Aquarius then has what? Well, Aquarius has what Capricorn lacks. Capricorn lacks that sense of breaking the rules, the sense of doing things a new way, the desire to try new and innovative things. Because Capricorn, the old traditional ways work. Aquarius is like, psh, come on, blow that up. Do something different. See the bigger picture. Help the world. Heal the homeless. Heal the sick. And brings us to Pisces. What's Pisces have that Aquarius lacks? Well, Aquarius has that great humanitarian vision, but they hate humans. They don't, they're individuals. Whew, Aquarius. Pisces is like, I feel your pain. And this is the sole reason I won't go to anybody who's a Pisces that's having a party. Everybody in there, I'd be like, oh, Lord, help me. Why am I here? And Pisces are like, they're good people. I'm like, okay, but could they take a bath? I don't know. And then what's Aries have that Pisces lacks? That sense of individuality, the sense of me. Pisces is like merged with the whole. So you get it. Each sign has what the other lacks behind it. And the sign ahead of us has what we lack, okay? And lack is a descriptive word. It's not an adjective necessarily. It's not telling you you are weak in an area. You just don't have it. Like, it's just sort of like, okay, and you function well without it. Okay, so let's take a look. Cancer seems like it might be Wizard of Oz archetype. They could project the wizard, but, oh, that's good. Who's that man behind the curtain? That's very possible. That's very possible. I like that. Thank you, Lenny. That's great. Lenny, like, these guys are all doing little shorts. I hope you guys will subscribe. I do my astrological moment. I have this. Lenny has Lenny's Brilliant Sparkling Light on YouTube. Sahar, Serena has Life Journeys with Serena. If they're here, they can put their links in there, but I hope you guys will subscribe to them. The cute little, like, Peggy has them. The cute little minute, there, you can't be more than 3 minutes. They're little shorts that help us through the day, like little inspirations. Those are the things that we'd like to have in our subscription pocket, right? Things that make us feel okay. How many things are you following that scare the heck out of you? I hope not a lot. Like, you got to stop that. All right, let me see how y'all are doing. Hi, Pamela, thank you. Love yourself first. Namira, thank you. New here. Welcome. Big hugs to you. Thank you for coming. Melissa, thank you. Scorpio Rising, question everything. It's so true. Poor Scorpios. I have a ton of Scorpio, as you all know. You question everything because guess what? And you know what else you do? You buried everyone you love, everything you love. How many times have I remember the other day I was just doing the same thing, crying, feeling, not crying. I was talking to a friend about how much it means to me that, you know, I want to go first before I don't want to see anything I love die. I want to go first. And they're like, why is that even on your mind? I don't know. It came to me. There was a song and I was listening to that song and it was like, oh God. And so Scorpios, like, and the other thing about Scorpio too, in water sign, is people say Scorpios are fearless. No, they're not. They are the scaredest of all. But the problem is Scorpio can't just not know. So if Scorpio hears the creak in the house downstairs, they hear the burglar breaking in or whatever they hear, the sound. Of course, they think it's a burglar because that's the first thing that'll happen in their mind. It's like, think the worst. They don't run and hide. They get the bat and run downstairs because they ain't going to live not knowing. They got to know. Got to uncover it. Look under the hood. Come on. And they're terrified to do it, but they do it. Cancers are probably, I know what Cancer would be doing, going, go down and look. I'll take care of the kids. You go look. That's true. I do. I called John. I said, like, the other day I saw a little mouse, but there was one like 2 weeks ago, there was one that was in my bathroom and I think it just got scared, and I live in the downstairs part of the house, so it's not uncommon, but I saw it, I walked right upstairs and I'm just making some toast and John came down and I just in my little way, God, you know, my bath, I can't take my shower because there's something in there and I don't want to do no. And he's like, what? And I'm like, I don't know. Is this scary? I don't know. Being silly, like a little kid. And he ran, my hero, he went down and took care of it. But, you know, cancers, like, y'all need, please take care of that. You know, move that water energy to get people to help, to do the right thing. That's all. Do the right thing. What I need you to do. Okay. You all seem to be doing okay. Pamela says, I work as an analyst. Big surprise. Scorpio analyst, the best. The best. You know, when you're going to therapy, and, well, I mean, there's so many good therapists with different signs. You know, John works a lot with the therapists throughout the country because he's just a psychological astrologer. He's really good at what he does, and they help uncover what issues are in the chart. And The Scorpio therapists are the ones who are like laser in, not afraid of anything. So if you have a Scorpio therapist, you're kind of not afraid to tell them anything. Now, a Libra therapist could just as well, but my Scorpio meeting a Libra therapist, I think I'd be a little more trepidatious I'd have more trepidation to be able to say, okay, here's the behind the hood. But that's just me. Some people need the Libra, and it's ironic, John is a Libra, to be fearless and bring that Venus energy to lighten it up a little bit. So it's so amazing how the combinations of who we are work well with all of us. Like, we just know, you just know. Like, you ever, like, I'm a walking universe of this chart that surrounds all of us. When you took your first breath, you got yours. And I see this visual in my head of us having these big Halloween costumes of this big charts of all the planets, like where they were when we took our first breath. And we walk into a room and here's these planets commingling. And my Saturn whacks you in the head. So if you're a Scorpio, my Saturn might hit you directly. And you might go, God, he brings me great security. Or you might go, he is so oppressive. It just depends on how you're working your own planet. So the planets commingling together, mine to yours, you'd be an idiot to think that you could take two people's charts and look at them and know how they're going to be. Because I can't know if you got wounded with your sun sign, if you got wounded with your moon sign. I can't know that until I talk to you, until I meet you. So to do chart interpretation without having met the person, to see how they're doing their moons, to see how their Venuses are, to see and get a feel, like asking questions and interviewing, understanding, it's really important that we don't just say, oh, you're not compatible. My chart and John's chart are so diversely bad, like squares all over the place, like he's a Libra, I'm a Cancer. That ain't supposed to work. He has everything at the bottom of the chart. I have everything at the top of the chart. I mean, it's so different. And yet the combination is amazing. What, 38 years, right? I mean, he's the luckiest person I know. I mean, it's crazy. And here's the other thing. I grew up my whole life. My mom was kind of into astrology. She was in like the horoscope astrology, and she's a Virgo. And she would always say, Cancers are the luckiest people when it comes to relationship in the world. And I really started believing that. Like, oh, that is so cool. And I noticed in my life, I have these incredible relationships, like these people that are so good to me, or so like just the right person at the right time. And then it hit me. She was talking about herself. She's a Virgo, but she married a Cancer. So what did she say? Cancers are the luckiest people in the world. I never put it together until I got it. We all talk about ourselves in such fun ways. We love to see the world through that window. But my mom definitely made me think I was lucky in relationships. And God bless her, she wasn't wrong. I have been. But I've also had some relationships that were like, wow, some of the biggest, hardest lessons I ever had to learn. But nonetheless, significant, powerful, important. Okay, so let's look ahead. Let's take a look at the week ahead, because this is big stuff. I know we're in big terrain territory, and I know a lot of you are worried. A lot of you worry about the political stuff. That's why I deliberately avoid the political stuff here. What's the point? You're going to do what you do. But what I want to tell you, I wanted to remind you that we're a Cancer country. And Jupiter in Cancer in our natal chart. And we're having our Jupiter return. You're going to be okay. Okay? It's going to be okay. So let me move on to the week. Let's take a look. Lenny said, Cancers are the luckiest people. We don't feel that way. I say Aries are the lucky ones, and they don't feel that way. But it's funny because, you know, we all could look at our life. If we all took a moment and did a little gratitude, I think we'd all feel like there's some reasons to be grateful. Just so many simple things that we could be grateful. I have to take my walk with the boys in the morning and shake off the morning worries. And because I'm a Cancer, I have morning worries. Yeah. If you're a Cancer, you know what I mean. And I have Scorpio on top of it. So not only are they worries, they're going to hit me. They're going to come real. So I take a walk, and my goal is I walk until my mind is clear. And when my mind is clear is when I can suddenly go, oh, that tree is beautiful. When I can look up and see, like, oh, okay, relax, you're okay. In this moment in time, you're okay. I know it's cliche. I know worries haunt us. And I know you guys, fear is not anything to make fun of. But fear is also something that you can choose to see differently. You really can. And I just want to give you that. No matter what your sign is, there's a way to bring it. And my secret weapon is always gratitude. My secret weapon is, and I learned this by watching that guy, that famous guy. And you all always remind me who he is, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who said what. Here's the idea. Take a moment to be grateful. But don't think about specific things you're grateful for. Act like you're getting ready to reach for something to be grateful for, right, in your mind. And that moment, right as you're ready to reach, before you land on the thing like my kids or that I hit the lottery, right before you grab the specific thing that it is, hold that feeling right there, reaching for gratitude. This is what the new moon offers us as hope. Hold that gratitude. Let it burn a little bit. Let it hold it inside of you for a minute. Because that thing right there, the thing that you're about to reach for that says this is gratitude, that thing is the thing that never goes away. It's in there. We can reach it anytime we want. We don't always want to, right? Sometimes it feels good to look at the fear directly and be in it for a minute, see if we can wrestle our way out of it. But when you're ready, reach in and grab that moment, that thing like of gratitude. And just sit with it for a minute. And that's what happens to me when I do my walk. I sort of get to the point where I'm feeling I can see the tree. I can see the cloud that's right behind the tree. I can see maybe the moon. I can see something I can see my little babies, my little boys in front of me, happy to be on their walk, right? And I get that feeling of like, okay, what else could matter right now? What else could matter? And it goes away. I mean, I'm better. And I think without my little morning to do that, I'm kind of like, I feel a little ripped off. So I never thought in a million years, I mean this, that I would get up, put clothes on, get the leashes, get out the door, and walk ever, ever. That ain't my thing. No. If I didn't have dogs, I wouldn't do it. But now I'm so glad. I'm so glad I do it. It's been 2 years. I don't think I missed maybe 4 days on the worst kind of weather for their sake. But they're not these long, healthy walks. They're contemplative, short cancer walks. But they're enough to shift me so I can come back and play and make some bread and think about the simpler things in life. For a minute, because it only lasts a minute. I have Jupiter in Virgo. There's no way I'm not going to sit around thinking about what's wrong with everything. Everything. Even on my walk, sometimes I have to look at the tree that's perfect because the house behind it, you know, is even more perfect. And I don't want to get like all like whatever a Virgo mind does, right? Let's look at the week ahead. I'll check on you guys. Hey, Cancer Moon. Morning, Dee. Hey, thanks for being here. Thanks, Lenny. Lenny, you remind us every day with the cards you pull. John read for me years ago. Great insight. Hi, Shelley. That's so sweet. John is such a sweet Libra in the sense that he can look past the stuff. Like, I can't see past the stuff most of the time. He can't. He doesn't see the stuff. He sees your heart. He sees your goodness, and he brings that out because he sees it. With my Scorpio moon, I remember running the store, and he goes, you see all the shit in people. And I go, I know, but I have to be ready for it. How am I going to fling it away? He goes, it's what you call up because of it. So that if we ever debate or argue, it's the Libra air thing. It's the air water thing. It will always be about that. Like emotional, like, no, I don't want to feel their unconscious. He's like, they don't know they're doing that. And I go, yeah, but not knowing that you're doing it doesn't make it less painful. So we would always have that debate. But I've grown up since then a little bit. Okay, so let's go over a little bit what's happening. We have this void of course moon for 43 hours. Now, for most of us, that's going to feel like unhooked. Doesn't matter. I say don't buy stuff under this moon. Because I'm a Cancer, I want to shop so bad today, I can't even begin to tell you. And that's the danger sign. When I wanted to do it because it scratches an itch, it's probably a void of course moon. And I'm going to be sending the stuff right back. So try to be patient until Wednesday if you can. Just if you have to buy stuff, buy it. But do me a favor, just do an experiment. Make a note. See, did it work? I mean, maybe because we think it's not going to work, it will work. And that's the inverse effect. It's like that's how the universe goes, ha, 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 gotcha. You thought it was going to break and it didn't. It was the best thing you ever did. That could happen. It does, too, a lot. Okay, so we got this Gemini moon happening until Tuesday evening, 8:44 p.m. Pacific time. That's when it goes into Cancer. If you are a Cancer rising, let me bring the chart back up. If you have Cancer at this position here, like whatever you have here, you have to look outside to see where Cancer is. If you're a Cancer rising, this new moon is most likely in your 12th house. It may not feel comfortable at first. Things in the 12th house can be a little, they can feel a little insecure. They can make you feel a little isolated. So if your Cancer sign is either here where I'm circling or here, mostly, or even here, it's so early, the moon is probably landing somewhere in the 12th. So if it is, just roll with it. The minute the new moon hits, everything shifts. The energy changes. It's like clockwork. And the moon hits, the new moon is at exactly 3:32 in the morning, Wednesday. That's Pacific time. So by the time the East Coast is up and running, 6:30 maybe in the morning, it'll be done. You'll be done. So that's Wednesday. Do a little ritual Tuesday night. It's the last of the moon of taking our light away. So it's the last of giving up something. Okay? Worry. Fear. Giving up anything that has been an obstacle to you in the world. Like giving that up. And then at Wednesday, on the new moon, after the new moon, 3:32, get ready to start asking to receive. Like, and it's not like you can't ask beforehand. Ask for anything you want, anytime you want. The universe is not, I don't see the universe as this judgy thing that we have to be so perfect in our timing and we have to speak only English and proper English. And, you know, that's, you know, it's like it only understands our native language. stop all the silliness. Feel that gratitude, love, energy. And then you could even just hold that as an intention. Hold that as an intention. Feeling of love. You can be nebulous and ambiguous. If you do believe that the universe loves you, if you do believe you're a product of love, then you can't possibly believe that that love is here to punish you if you do something wrong. Okay, you just can't. Those two can't not simultaneously exist. So figure out what you believe in. And when you hold that little sense of gratitude in there on a new moon, which is now going to start attracting things to us, drawing light. The moon's going to get fatter. We're going to start getting, no, hopefully we don't, whatever, get fatter. I don't care. I don't fat shame anybody. But get fatter in our desires, get attract light to us, right? So hold that gratitude and see that it's getting bigger. I want that bigger. I want to explore and fill my life as a ball of gratitude. And I'm not saying to be Pollyannish about anything, right? Because I'm about as realistic as they come in, worse is realistic. But it is the moments that we can capture a glimpse of being happy, a moment that we can capture a glimpse of, oh, you know, what does any of this matter? Let it go. That moment, it might all come back, but it doesn't. It's like those are the breathing moments. Those are the moments that we celebrate. All we have in life are these little moments of celebration and happiness. And then the rest is sort of like there's somebody fighting or hurt or pain or the fear of death. So what do? We celebrate the moments when they come. And all I'm asking us to do is make them come more frequently. Make them come like when they or manufacture one to come so you can enjoy that moment. Not being able to keep your peace all day long. So what? Who can? Anybody telling you they keep their peace all day long is most likely not telling the truth or very delusional or already had a lobotomy that worked. It's fine. But you know the realism. There's got to be disappointment. There's always something that disappoints us. So what do? We celebrate that moment when we can. And how do we create that moment? Whenever we get a chance to think of it and everything's aligned for us to bring some gratitude in. That's what Cancer is for. That's what this energy is for. How do we love ourselves? How do we nurture ourselves? Learn from our little crab friends. All right. Thursday, after the new moon, it's Cancer all day Thursday, but we have a change. We have Mercury going into Leo, okay? And that means when a planet changes signs, things can feel a little weird. Like, oh, how do I adjust to this? So if you're feeling a little confused, if you're feeling a little wonky on Thursday, mark it off to this. But if you're also, if you're feeling good, great, love that. But the Mercury cycle that we're going into is one about feeling optimism. Getting out of that worry, remember what Leo has, what Cancer lacks. We're leaving Mercury in Cancer and going into Leo. Our thoughts are going to get a little more optimistic. We're going to start intending some good news. We're going to quit spreading fear and sadness, and we're going to spread optimism. How hard is that to do? Right? Everybody can scream. Everybody can have their hair on fire about everything you want. It doesn't matter. And you can tell the world how scared you are and how upset you are and how angry you are. You can do that. It's fine. You could also do something that might make you feel a little better. I don't know. You choose. Friday, all day Leo moon. So now we got Mercury and the moon in Leo. Saturday, all day Leo moon. No void, of course. And Sunday, we have Leo going into Virgo, and we reintroduce a ridiculously long void of course moon next week. We'll talk about that then. Let's live through this one. Let's let this one be a little more fun. Let me say goodbye to you guys. Let me see how you're doing. Bless your hearts for being here. Mark, can you talk about Jupiter in the other houses? Sure, we can do that. I have 3 minutes. I can do that. I can go around it. Okay, let's talk about Jupiter. And you're so cute. Wait, if you're out of time, just mention the 12th. Okay, we'll go through them. Jupiter is going to expand and open in the sign of Cancer. So it's going to bring warmth and joy, and it's also going to bring worry and fear, however we do it. But if it's in the 12th, where the luck is oftentimes serendipitous. It's sort of like, we call it the guardian angel aspect when Jupiter's in the 12th. So you're kind of being taken care of, but you don't always see it. You don't always know why. But it is that thing where take a minute and appreciate the part of you that never stops loving you, that never stops knocking on your door. The subconscious mind, that's Jupiter in the 12th. Woo! Tap into it. Do tarot readings. Like, use your oracles, because I would say the world, the universe is talking to you, and it's more invisible, and it's time for you to sort it through. We'll go through real quick. If it's in the first house, the Jupiter, if you're Jupiter in Cancer, if you're a Cancer rising, it's in the first house. It's basically you are attracting a loving energy to you, but you have an ability to move people based on your emotional strength. You feel more optimistic. You feel more hopeful. People see you as a light because they're seeing that Jupiter. Use it. Use it. It's really sweet. Notice how people see you when Jupiter's in your first house. In the second house, hey, thank you, Mojis. Thank you. My pleasure. My pleasure. Okay, great. Thank you, Renee. Okay, so second house, security. Like, it's sort of, how are you taking care of your money and using it to feel? Money is like energy, like having the energy to feel secure and to feel safe and to get it, your ducks in a row. And it's lucky, like, so you can do it now wherever it touches. Third house, friends and neighbors and making things more beautiful in the home and like in the yard, siblings, really have an appreciation and taking care of them. See if people are seeing you more, coming to you for more support as Jupiter transits this. Fourth house, you're taking care of your home, making it more comfortable, getting rid of stuff that isn't working for you, furniture that isn't working for you, more nurturing. Maybe you're doing some remodeling. Enjoy this cycle of the home. Fifth house, children, more children around you. It's lucky, fertile time. If you want children, have some fun. If you don't want children, have some fun and protect yourself. Sixth house, everyday routines and rituals, habits, health. This is like the time to take care of yourself, because if you put some intention on taking care of yourself, then it doubles, it triples, it magnifies by a million. Seventh house, other people, a new influx of people coming into your life, maybe people that want to support you, that you're supporting, but I think you're going to feel that love and like see about this. Who are they? Why are they here? Eighth house, good time to gamble, good time to have intimacy, good time to take care of things like file your taxes. Lucky time. Money from other people. Ninth house, travel, have a ball. Do like me, travel with Cancer in the ninth. Learn, take classes, travel. Like what I was going to say is travel on the Discovery Channel. That's valid travel. That's my favorite kind of travel. The bugs are ridiculously easy to kill. 10th house, relationship to your mom, you being the mom, being noted at work, having, if you need something to increase at work, maybe work's getting busier because Jupiter, but you have a chance to get some accolades and some love at work and take advantage of them. Ask for your raises if you need to. 11th house, friends, love your friends, enjoy your friends. There's going to be some news around friends and you're probably going to meet some new friends. And this is also about employees at work, and promotions. Okay. Love you guys. Thank you so much. This is Mark Husson. This is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. I'll see you this time next week. Check out my shorts. Be sure to subscribe. All right, you guys. Bye-bye.